We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Oh, this is such a blessing to see you, Mr. President. Thank you for taking time out of your day. Oh, gracious God, thank you so much.
All right, what's the question?
All right, Mr. President.
I kind of ride the middle of the road. I told you this before. I own guns, and I'm for abortion.
It's definitely built inside orthodoxy in terms of portrayal of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father is the large black African-American woman. The Holy Spirit is an Asian, and then Jesus plays himself.
They believe that every problem practically can be solved if you just had enough condoms. I call that ideology condomism.
Well, you know, the ancient philosophers would debate whether or not God exists. And nowadays, the big question is, does Satan exist? For some, it is a self-evident truth that Satan exists. They look in the world around them. They say, look at what goes on every day. You can just open up the newspaper if you still take the newspaper. Or better yet, look on the internet and watch that news roll in. Certainly, Satan exists. He's behind all human suffering. Well, that may not be entirely true. I think Satan sometimes just winds up that little monkey with his symbols and lets it run. And we do the rest. Christians say it's important that we maintain that Satan exists, but why? And others say it's a figment of our imagination. Now, yesterday during Audio Open Lines, we started listening to an ABC News Nightline debate on does Satan exist. The panelist there, Deepak Chopra, who's called a philosopher, he's a kind of a new age guru and philosopher. Carlton Pearson used to be a very prominent Word Faith teacher and now has not only denied Satan but also the existence of hell and has kind of a self-proclaimed universalist. Mark Driscoll from Mars Hill Church, availing himself very well of the opportunity. And Annie Lobear, who as a panelist on this discussion of does Satan exist, comes with the credentials of being the head of an organization called Hookers for Jesus, and she claims personal experience with Satan and his minions. We're going to be talking about that, playing some of that audio for you, some very interesting stuff, and getting your comments during Audio Open Lines for the first 45 minutes. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Then a little bit later, Colleen Carroll Campbell is going to join us to talk about a new UN resolution on the freedom of religion, which isn't about the freedom of religion at all. Well, let's get straight to the audio from this recent ABC News Nightline debate. Does Satan exist? We'll begin with a question from the debate audience.
My question really goes to all of you. What happens in the end time? Are all persons saved? Is there enlightenment for all persons or all beings?
The teaching of Christianity is that there is life after death, that some go to be with God and some are separated from Him forever.
Another question. Young lady right here in the front in red.
How would you handle somebody, say, who murdered someone if there was no good and no evil? I'm wondering if there's a chance for compassion in that. Is there a chance for, how do you align yourself with that question if there is no good and no evil?
No pure good and no pure evil, just a continuum, a spectrum.
Well, we're talking about good and evil,
right.
And it seems to me that it gives us a good chance to judge. So that if there is no good and no evil, how do you handle your judgment of a person in front of you who has just done something that you think is not right? So if there's somebody in front of you that killed somebody, how would you judge that?
And that's back to my initial point. If you believe everything is one, then you can't have good and evil. There's good, evil, yin, yang. There's there just is.
Exactly.
If you believe there's God and then creation, so creator, creation, then God has the right to judge what happens in creation. God has the right to provide an objective standard by which we could say rape is bad and murder is bad and it's always bad and it doesn't matter what neighborhood you grew up in or what kind of dad you had, it's still wrong regardless of environmental conditioning.
Do you think we need that?
I think without that, you've sawn off the limb of morality that you sit on.
Then that's important.
I mean, if you can't call something wrong, and if you can't judge something is wrong, then evil just is, and it's tolerated.
All right, that's Mark Driscoll from Mars Hill Church. As part of this debate, does Satan exist? Of course, the concepts of evil and Satan do go hand in hand. I would point out, however, that strictly speaking, evil is not solely the purview of the evil one. Was evil introduced into our creation via the temptation that Satan brought to Adam and Eve? Absolutely. But Adam and Eve very quickly became complicitous, co-conspirators, I would say, with Satan in the downfall and fall of the human race and of all mankind. We are willing co-conspirators in evil. So I've often said, and I think it's quite true, if I could, this is purely hypothetical, but if I could snap my fingers and make Satan cease to exist, there'd still be plenty of evil in the world to go around. I don't think we'd even notice a difference if I could snap my fingers and make Satan cease to exist, because we also have the world and our own sinful flesh at work here. But you can see here in this debate how the concept of objective evil and good go along with the idea of Satan, and those who tend to reject the notion of Satan will also tend to reject the notion of a absolute good or evil. Mark Driscoll's made a very good point. I want your reaction to it. He said, look, without God, you have no objective basis for morality or any of the judgments that go along, and you really can't honestly, with a straight face, call anything good or anything evil, period. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. We're listening this Thursday afternoon, April the 2nd, to some ABC News Nightline audio, a debate, does Satan exist? Next, Carlton Pearson and Deepak Chopra respond to the same question.
Here's how I respond to that. Instead of saying right or wrong, good or bad, there's just choices and decisions with consequences.
You think that if I punched you, wouldn't say, Mark, that was bad.
No, I'd punch you back first, and then you let you judge.
Yeah.
And listen, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. So what are you talking about?
Well, I'm just asking hypothetically. If he punches me.
No, let me.
You know, I think God and Satan are explicit enemies but implicit allies. They define each other.
They work together.
Because, you know, you can't have one without the other. It's the usual story of contrast.
So you make it sound like a sham.
I make it sound as a truth, because how do you define the divine without invoking the diabolical?
I'll repeat myself. You make it sound like it's one big sort of practical joke.
It's not a practical joke.
It is.
If you have a deeper understanding of the context in which evil arises, then you don't judge, you don't punish, you try to understand the context and the meaning of how it arose, and then you try to rehabilitate that context so you can actually turn the sinner into the saint. The sinner and the saint are merely exchanging notes. The saint has a past, the sinner has a future. So relax.
Okay, that's Deepak Chopra, and you could hear Carlton Pearson chiming in. They tend to agree on this notion of whether Satan exists. They say, no, he doesn't. He's a manifestation of our neuroses or of our fears. We project Satan out onto the world around us. But it's a psychological phenomenon. It's not an objective existence that Satan has. So when you hear Deepak Chopra say God and Satan kind of need each other, he's speaking there in the context of his view that neither truly exist. They're both projections, psychological projections of what's going on inside of us. Carlton Pearson said there's not good or evil. There's choices and consequences. Choices and consequences. Okay, so there are no good choices or bad choices, and there are no good consequences or bad consequences. But the moderator asks the right question. So what if the choice I make is to harm you? You really have no basis upon which to say that that was right or wrong, or even to retaliate, or do the same back to me. Or conversely, you have the choice to do whatever you please. Even if I don't hit you, maybe you want to hit me anyway. Because if we're living in a world that is morally blind, there is no moral imprint on the universe. It's all the choices we make and the consequences that follow. Then every man does what he pleases, what pleases him, actually, most. What do you think about this so far? The debate going from does Satan exist to the existence of objective good and evil. It's Audio Open Lines coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, April the 2nd. I'm Todd Wilkin, and this is Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. Of course, it's also perfectly reasonable to take the next step with Carlton Pearson and Deepak Chopra and say, look, if there is no objective right or wrong, good or evil in the universe, just choices and consequences, then you really have no business being on this panel at all, because we've asked you to come here and tell us what the truth is. And the truth is, I think, a self-evident good. And they do apparently believe, or maybe they don't, that for those who do believe that Satan and evil exist, it's wrong for them to believe that. Or it's incorrect for them to believe that. If you start to paint yourself into a corner when you deny the existence of God or his lesser counterpart, in this case, Satan. We'll be right back with more Audio Open Lines. Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you. issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Here are a few of the features of the new Lutheran Study Bible from Concordia Publishing House. Study notes, application notes, and prayers from a uniquely Lutheran perspective. 120 maps, charts, and diagrams. You'll find law and gospel application notes, center column references, and quotes from the Church Fathers. Check out the Lutheran Study Bible at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or pre-order the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Me damn sure the pilot washed his hands and sealed his face. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's audio open lines for the next half hour of the program. Then Colleen Carol Campbell will join us. We'll talk with her about a UN resolution that's supposed to be about freedom of religion, but would actually restrict the freedom of religion worldwide. Sounds pretty ominous, doesn't it? In the meantime, it's audio open lines. Does Satan exist? ABC News Nightline did a debate with Deepak Chopra, Carlton Pearson, Mark Driscoll, and Annie Lobear on that very subject. We're playing it for you and getting your reaction, your questions, and your comments. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 1-877-623-6943. John in Colorado emails us. He says, evil is the twisting or a misuse of a good thing. Evil can only be the misuse of something good, but evil can never be an actual thing, just as sin is not a thing, but is the misuse of it, whether money, sex, food, power, weapons, alcohol, etc. Therefore, God, who is good, must be prior, and evil come later only in the misuse of good. As God cannot be corrupted, the devil must be later the later corrupting influence, as evil can only happen by means of a conscious will, twisted as it is. This is the only way evil can come into ongoing existence and the continual corruption of beings which are made to be good. All right, John in Colorado, thank you very much for the email and thanks for listening. I would take it a step further. While it is true, I think in an everyday kind of practical sense, that the way we find to manifest the evil that clings to us according to our sinful nature is by the abuse of good things God gives. God gives only good gifts, and we take them and misuse them and abuse them. You're right in that sense, very right. But with regard to evil itself, I think the Bible paints an even starker picture than mere abuse of good gifts. I think the Bible defines evil as not the presence of anything, but the absence of something that should be there. This helps us understand a little better Satan. Now, don't spend much time psychologizing the evil one. It won't do you any good. There's nothing good to be seen there, but I think we can say this much on the basis of Scripture. It is not what Satan possesses that God doesn't that makes him who he is. It's what Satan lacks that God possesses that makes Satan who he is. What does Satan lack? A proper fear, love, and trust in his Creator. He abandoned that in his rebellion. He's been confirmed in that, we should call it deficiency, although it's a very mild term for what's going on here. And the same thing happened with Adam and Eve when they chose to listen to the word and promise of Satan rather than listen to the word and promise of God. When they listened and believed the word and promise of Satan over the word and promise of God, they gave something up. They forfeited something, the proper fear, love, and trust of their Creator. So that evil, whether it's in Satan or in us, is not, strictly speaking, the existence of something, but the absence of the vital thing that is the connection between creature and Creator. So now we understand that Satan doesn't walk around with a substance that he sprays on us with a super soaker. But what Satan actually does is steal from us. Of course, we're complicit in this. We give him this. He has stolen from creation, not added something in. He has stolen something from creation and from mankind, something that he doesn't even possess himself. So then we can understand that when we say, does evil exist? I think the proper biblical answer there is, well, strictly speaking, evil is the non-existence of a proper fear, love, and trust of God. Steve is calling from his car. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
Good. You know, what's interesting is if you think about the discussion, and I think going to the heart of the issue is there an absolute good and absolute evil? I think that's really, by going to that in the discussions, it's really the heart of the issue. But that being said, if you think about this, is do we really want a society where there's no absolute good or evil, everything is relative? Don't we then end up in a kind of a truly social Darwinianism where it is survival of the fittest and survival of the strongest and who can adapt? And it's an amoral environment that they ask. But again, the challenge is they verbally want that, but I don't think they really want that deep inside because I think they really know the consequences of that.
If they've thought it through, Steve, you're right. If they've thought it through, then they certainly
and I don't. Yeah, I don't think they do. I think what happens is the mindset is for me everything is absolute, but but for everybody else everything is relative.
Interesting. Thank you very much, Steve. Right. Can you consistently live in a universe that you perceive to be, as I say, morally blank? That is, no imprint of right or wrong on the fabric of the universe that the creator has left there. His fingerprints, his, if you will, his moral fingerprints on the universe. That along with things like gravity, weak force, strong force, all of those things that God has built into the physical universe, he has also built into the universe right and wrong. Because it's of his nature to distinguish between the two things. So can you live in that kind of a universe? Not consistently. Not consistently. Not unless you were perfectly willing to let your neighbor come in and rape your daughter and your wife and just sit there watching television as though he was doing nothing more than borrowing your hedge clippers. Because if you live in a morally blank universe, you cannot consistently be upset about that kind of thing. Because what he's doing is no more wrong than borrowing your hedge clippers. Kathy's calling from her car. I'm sorry, Kathy in St. Charles. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I know we're talking about, you know, evil and the moral things of it, but we're just talking about it. It seems like in relation to man's sin or not sin, depending on your perspective, but I also think there's, and I know, you know, you know this too, there's the death and the devil, which I know they are arguing against, but you know, I mean, when people have children who are disabled, I wouldn't call that a good thing. I would think, from my perspective, that Satan has taken, Satan or God allows, for whatever reason, something good that, you know, you're looking forward to having a healthy child, and then you have a child who is not healthy. And so I think that's, you know, something stolen from us. You know, I mean, all of creation is fallen and affected by the fall and is not what it was intended to be. And so I think I just don't see how they can make an argument. There's no evil. I mean, look at all the disease in the world. Look at all the death. What about those that may have nothing to do with someone's individual sin?
Thank you so much, Kathy. And you're quite right. One of the kind of practical, everyday, observable things, you know, Deepak Chopra is all about what he can observe in this world. Of course, he would tell you that all of that is an illusion. Disability, illusion. I mean, I wonder what Deepak Chopra is going to do when he gets old and becomes incontinent. He's going to stand there in the nursing home saying, all an illusion. Don't tend to me. It's all an illusion. Well, no. Destruction, disability, death. Hard evidence that something's seriously wrong here. And we have an innate sense that it isn't the way it should be. Now, the evolutionists will say, oh, yes, it is. This is the way it should be. This is just the way things happen. Death is a part of life. He's doing that against better knowledge. He's making that claim against better knowledge. And I would argue an innate, built-in knowledge that God has given that something's seriously wrong here. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you very much. Back to ABC's News Nightline's Face-Off. Does Satan exist? Here's Carlton Pearson.
You were saying it is a sham, this whole notion of Satan.
This whole idea of this fairytale, invisible, good God and bad God, and by the way we're taught in fundamentalism, the bad guy gets most of the people. The world is going to hell. The whole world is just about going to, a few little righteous Southern Baptists might make it. But by the time we get to whittling it down, just think about what we tell people, that Jesus is triumphant. He said it is finished, that as in Christ, as in Adam, all men die, so in Christ, all shall be made alive. Sometimes the Bible contradicts itself, but we talk about a triumphant Christ, but we also talk about a triumphant devil that wins the world, is controlling the world, is controlling the economy, is controlling the environment, is controlling this culture, controlling the White House, the Vatican. I mean, we have demonized so much till we realize it.
Okay, now Carlton Pearson is playing fast and loose with what the Bible teaches. And you notice he tripped himself up there. He talked about in Adam all die and Christ shall all be made alive. He wanted to talk about a victorious Christ, but he accidentally quoted the Bible accurately and talked about this death thing and this Adam guy that he doesn't think too fondly of. But look, let's make a distinction between what the Bible teaches and what Christians sometimes believe or say it teaches. And Carlton Pearson's playing fast with those two, fast and loose with those two. Carlton, stick to one or the other. Either talk about what Christians believe wrongly or talk about what the Bible teaches, but don't confuse the two. All right, let's hear from you on the subject, does Satan exist, and on the ABC News Nightline debate we've been playing for you during this, 40 minutes of audio open lines here on Issues, etc. Call or email during this break, 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE. We'll hear from Deepak Chopra on the other side of the break. 1-877-623-6943. And our in-studio email address this Thursday afternoon, the 2nd of April, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Dragonflies and fighter pilots? What can we learn?
Answers with Ken Ham, whose ministry has built a high-tech creation museum near Cincinnati, Ohio.
Well, dragonflies have long been known to be incredible flyers, but recent studies have shown just how amazing they really are. See, insects have compound eyes, and they're very good at detecting movement, making it difficult for a predator to sneak upon them. With the dragonfly, however, it's able to maneuver in a way that makes them appear stationary to an insect they're trying to catch. A report in the New Scientist magazine said, "Dragonflies overshadow their enemies in complex maneuvers that military pilots can only dream of. It demands exquisite position sensing and control. The sort of performance is extremely hard to achieve without very expensive and bulky measurement systems." End of quote. Two researchers actually programmed a war game involving missiles, and they modeled the dragonfly's motion. The missiles were able to get far closer to their targets before being detected. You know what the most intelligent human designers can't achieve? The dragonfly's creator programmed into the tiny brain of this incredible insect.
Would you like a wonderful tool that can help you effectively refute Darwinian evolution? Well, request a copy of our Answers magazine and its special edition on Charles Darwin. For your donation of any amount today, we'll send this great magazine out to you. Call us toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS. 888-89-ANSWERS.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Cause I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard. Cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold. But if you lose, the devil gets your soul.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Listening to some of this debate, does Satan exist? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. One of the things that Carlton Pearson brought up before the break, and I think it's, we really got to be careful when, now you got to know Carlton Pearson had a very traumatic experience. He was watching television one night at the height of his preaching career. He's watching, by his own account, he was watching television one night, saw some terrible footage of children in Rwanda, I believe, starving. And he began to ask himself the question, how could God allow this to happen? And he reshaped his theology at that point to say, well, hell can't exist because that looks like hell to me. And since he's gone on to espouse a kind of universalism, which confuses an awful lot of people, it did cost him his church, but he keeps going. And now what he's doing in this debate is saying, well, you know, we have this, and he did it before when we listened to the audio yesterday. We have this picture of this hairy, horned creature, and that doesn't exist. That's mythology. Nowhere in the Bible is the devil depicted in these mythological terms, but he confuses it with the biblical depiction of Satan. The point about Satan in the Old Testament, the New Testament, is not that he's a scary figure, some guy dressed up in a Halloween mask, but he is our accuser. He's the prosecuting attorney in the courtroom of God who does nothing but accuse us day and night of our sins, and God needs to silence his accusations with a substitute in Jesus Christ. Well, that's Carlton Pearson. Here's Deepak Chopra.
I want to take another question. There's a gentleman in the red shirt back there. He's had his hand up for a while. Come up to the microphone.
My question's for Deepak and the bishop. Now, you stated before that all belief is a cover-up for insecurity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Thank you.
I see. Yeah.
If something is real, you don't need to believe in it. You just experience it. And God is real because we can experience God. When we experience love, compassion, insight, inspiration, creativity, revelation, free choice, when we harness our energies to improve the world, we're experiencing God. You don't need to believe in that anymore.
Okay. First of all, very good question. Must have been an Issues Etc. listener, you know, asking the question, because it's a logically self-refuting thing to say all belief. You could even substitute all knowledge, all statements of truth, whatever they mean, are a cover-up for insecurity. Well, if someone says that, they must believe it. Therefore, if they believe it, that must be a cover-up for insecurity too. Now, Deepak Chopra is not a dumb guy. He's actually got real degrees. He's a man of medicine who's somehow fancies himself also a religious guru, philosophical guru. He's ready for that one. He says, if something's true, you don't have to believe it. You just experience it. Now, wait a minute. That only puts the question off one more step. Deepak, is that a belief too? The follow-up question should have been, and Dr. Chopra, is that also one of your beliefs? That if something is true, you don't have to believe it, you have to experience it. He believes that too, doesn't he? You've seen these bumper stickers that say, you know, my God is too big to fit into your religion. Really? So is yours. The statement, any statement that claims to be a truth statement, shouldn't at the same time undermine truth statements. Everything I say is a lie. It's a logically self-refuting statement. It's nonsense, literally nonsense. Because if it's true, it isn't. And if it isn't true, then it still refutes itself. Next, an audience question on the root of evil.
Young woman right here in red.
Hi, my name's Diana, and my question is, you believe that selfishness is the root of all evil in the devil, is that true?
My belief is that that pride underlies sin, and that is where we don't consider God or others, we're completely self-consumed, that's the essence of evil.
So if that is a given, do you not think it's prideful to believe that you have the corner on the truth and that it's selfish to not entertain other ideas and other cultures' beliefs on religion and truth?
What you're saying is that I haven't, and so you're judging me for
no,
judging.
No, I'm asking, how do you reconcile the notion of evil as selfishness mm-hmm. and not see believing that your own idea as the only idea of truth is not in and of itself selfish?
The question is whether or not it's true. The question is whether or not it's true. You might say that something is right. I might say that something is wrong. The question is, what is true? just because I believe something is true doesn't mean I'm selfish. In fact, I might tell you that Jesus loves you and that all your sins can be forgiven and you can have a new life forever with him. And you may say, that's selfish. I would say, I love you. No. I want good for you. And that's my way of trying to help.
I'm asking, do you think it's selfish to not entertain another idea that someone else could have an idea of salvation that isn't the same as yours and that that could be equally true?
Yeah, and that's why I'm here. I mean, and that's why I have friends that disagree with me and people from other religions. And that's why I read broadly in as much as time affords. And it's not that I don't consider other things, but I find my answers in Jesus.
And this is Mark Driscoll. Now, the question is good, although let's clear away a little bit of the dross here. Whether or not someone is arrogant to say something is irrelevant. Let me say that again. It really makes no difference when someone is making a truth claim whether or not they're arrogant. The only question is what they say true or false? Whether or not someone is arrogant, it may be a source of annoyance, but it's irrelevant to the truth claim. It's based upon a premise that goes something like this. Arrogant people must not speak the truth if they're arrogant. Well, that's not true. I've known lots of arrogant people, myself included, who are capable of speaking the truth. If someone walked into your house and said, hey, buddy, your house is on fire. Do you check to see whether he's arrogant before you walk outside to verify his truth claim? Would you sit in your house smugly saying, well, you're just arrogant for claiming my house is on fire? You're just being arrogant to claim that knowledge. Won't you consider someone else's point of view like the house isn't on fire? No, you get up, you walk out, you see whether or not the house is on fire. You verify the truth claim. And so the real question here is not arrogance. And I think Driscoll says, look, it's really about the person who wants to speak the truth, especially the Christian wants to speak the truth, does consider other truth claims, but he also reserves the right, not an arrogant right, but the right to dismiss them. And so does the person who says all things are true. They're not contradictory with one another. All paths lead to God. He's also evaluated truth claims and dismissed things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. He's dismissed that. Pretty arrogant, if you ask me. Of course, that's irrelevant. Mike in Rockford, Illinois says, Mr. Chopra, his denial of evil is one thing to discuss in an academic sense, but for dealing with real people with real problems, as your caller said, this view not only doesn't make sense, it doesn't offer comfort. It deals with tragedy in a similar way that a theology of glory does. It tends to stumble when comforting people when bad things happen to them, leaving out the final hope that only Christ gives us through the cross. You're quite right, Mike, and thank you for listening in Rockford. Can it give any abiding comfort to say, you know, don't worry about the illness that you're suffering. Don't worry about your sense of guilt. That's an illusion. This is what Deepak Chopra says. He says, if you have a sense of guilt, you are laboring under an illusion that isn't going to do you or anyone else any good. So do away with the sense of guilt. Embrace the good. Well, how do you know it's good? You'll know it when you experience it. It's a pretty flimsy limb to crawl out onto, isn't it? Your own personal experience. Does it comfort someone who is beset with guilt, illness, trouble in their life, to say to them, think on a higher plane. This is an illusion. It sounds great when Deepak Chopra sits legs crossed in front of a TV camera saying it in a beautiful Indian accent. But it doesn't do anyone any good. Folks, if you appreciate a timely response to shows like this one, the debate on Does the Devil Exist from ABC News Nightline, help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. by making a tax-deductible gift. You can donate online. Our website address is issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make a check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Coming up in just a minute, Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us. We'll be talking with her about a UN resolution that purports to be about an anti-defamation clause for religion, but it has nothing to do with the freedom of religion after you look at it. Colleen Carroll Campbell will be our guest. Tomorrow on the program, some movie reviews with screenwriter Brian Gadawa. What gives real comfort? The knowledge that the real evil in the world that we have brought has been dealt with at the cross of Jesus Christ. We'll talk about the UN resolution after this.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Villa in Finland is online. Villa, welcome to Issues Etc.
This thing about forgiveness, I think Jesus forgave on the cross, and so did Stephen, and this shows only that the Holy Spirit can do that. That was what I wanted to say.
Villa, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Finland.
Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely upon you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.